So I think it goes without saying what a joy it is to have my daughter and granddaughter here this morning as a proud papa. And I apologize to you, but I slipped to the back so that I could tape their song. I only did it because my daughter asked for it. And fathers can't refuse their daughters. Well, we can, but then we have wives to live with. Judy and Kimberly and Avonlea, thank you so much for singing this morning. Avonlea, you don't know this, but it reminds me of times when I was your age singing in my dad's service with my brother and my sister. Judy and I both were raised in a strong Christian home full of music. And from a young age, we both were involved in church. Judy likes to tell everybody that when she was young, she told them her daddy was the janitor. Because they were there to open the church, and they were there to close the church. And I was very much in the same boat with my family. But it is a joy when we have family with us, and that they can share in God's experiences, and especially when they can share in the service with us this morning. So thank both of you for being here. I want to share one other little thing this morning. This little doodad is my grandfather's. And I wore it purposefully this morning. It was a watch given to him by a church. If I remember correctly, it may have been the church that he was ordained in. So I wore it this morning. And you'll figure out why later in the service. And then this ring is my dad's master's degree ring from college. So I kind of have three generations here today. So parts may be a little difficult. Bear with me. When we are very young, we do not have much experience to draw on as we navigate our lives. We try things. Sometimes it's successful. Sometimes it's not. Many times what we are trying is to see what we can get away with without our parents finding out, because we already know that what we are doing is out of bounds. Maybe our parents didn't say explicitly, so we reason in our own minds that it's okay as long as we're a little fuzzy about the details. I dare say all of us in this room this morning have made those thoughts. Yet our parents were simply trying to provide us with life principles, our real life experiences from their wisdom, so that we would not repeat the lessons they had already learned. You see, as a parent, you never want to see your child or grandchild suffer, to have pain or loss. So you do your best to teach them and share from your own life experiences. Sometimes they are just too young, or headstrong, or stubborn to get it. Sometimes as parents, we have to find our ways to impress on them what they are doing is wrong. I remember a story my dad used to tell concerning his younger brother, himself, and his dad, my grandfather, for whom I'm named. You see, my dad and my younger brother weren't always involved in ministry. When they were young, they did things that they probably shouldn't have done. Now, I know none of you have ever done that. You're all perfect, you know, and you never had to worry about that. But they at times were mischievous. And they did things, even though they kind of knew it wasn't wrong, it was wrong, even though their parents hadn't explicitly said, this is wrong. I mean, I think we all know what bounds are about, right? Kind of learn a lesson and you kind of know how far. Isn't it funny how kids learn to pit one parent against another right after they're born? Don't go ask Dad. He'll say no. Mom will say it's okay. Nobody has that experience. Just me? Okay. My brother and I quickly learned it was easier to ask Mom than it was to ask Dad. Plus, Mom didn't apply the rod of correction quite as severely as Dad did. But anyway, they got into a tiff and they were doing stuff they weren't supposed to do. And I don't remember all the specifics of the story. Something got broken. But they both knew what they were doing before, during, and after was wrong to begin with. My grandfather, R.B. Sr., took them both to the shed and began to instruct them on how they had disobeyed. As a father, he was brokenhearted. As he continued to explain why what they had done was so wrong, he began to weep. He began to weep and tears ran down his face. He removed his belt. And as the tears were pouring, he began to relate to the boys what was right and what was wrong in the actions they had taken. He began to weep more. He started telling them how he had been a failure, how he had not been a good father. Because had he been a good father, they would not have done what they knew was already wrong. Took his belt off. He walked over to the table. He turned around. The boys didn't know what was coming next. And he handed them his belt. And he says, "Son, I want you to whip me because I have not been a good father." Now, some of you may be thinking this morning, "Dang, I wish my dad had done that." No problem, Dad. You're bending over. But my dad learned from that lesson. Because my grandfather said, "If you don't whip me, I'll whip you." So they took his belt and they whipped him for being a bad father and a bad parent. Because he had failed his children. To hear my dad tell that story was one of the hardest lessons he had ever learned. Because the boys refused to whip him for a long time until he got ready to whip them. My dad said that was the last time he ever disobeyed his father. You see, our parents, if they were only here to make our lives miserable, then what would be the point? If we think they go around spending their whole life just to make us miserable, then what's the point of life? To what end would it serve? There has to be a higher meaning to our purpose in life. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. Why would He create us just to persecute us? Many times we say, "God, why are you doing this to me? I can't take it anymore. It isn't fair." Yet God is not persecuting us. He is a loving Father. It pains Him to have to correct us. In fact, as Alice read this morning in the Old Testament, David points out that God does everything possible to give us a helping hand, to reach out, to hold us, to support us, to offer us comfort. Yet we snap at Him and blame Him for everything that happens to us. What purpose would it serve for God to create us and then constantly punish us? When mankind turned against God in the Garden of Eden, God put in motion a plan to yet still save us through His only begotten Son. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." God sent His Son so that through our faith in Him, we might have a path back to Him for eternal life. Life is beyond this mortal body. Life is beyond everything this world has to offer. Life is beyond Facebook, FaceTime, Snapchat, Twitter, Second Life, LinkedIn, Google+, MySpace, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, Flickr, Meetup, etc. If most of you don't know what I'm talking about, ask your grandchildren. I can guarantee you they can tell you what it is. As big as all of these are, Facebook boasts 2.23 billion users. YouTube, 1.9 billion people logged in. As big as all of these are, they pale in comparison to God. And His plan for us, His plan to redeem us from sin and the corruption in this world. Just as our parents try to teach us right from wrong, God continues to give us a path back to Him. As parents, there are many times we feel as though we have failed. We have failed in raising our children. We have failed in teaching them right from wrong. We have failed in teaching them about God. And many times, we would rather our children whip us than for us to punish them. Living in this world is easy if you just go along with everyone else. But living in this world, according to God's commands, is very difficult. Doing the right thing is often more difficult than doing the wrong thing. We need to remember how David reminded us about God being there for us every step of the way. Psalm 30. Alice read it this morning. You lifted me up out of the depths. You did not let my enemies gloat over me. I called to you for help, and you healed me. You brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. I want to pause there for a moment and talk about this pit. What pit do you suppose David is talking about here? When I think of the word pit in the Bible, to be honest, the first thing that comes into my mind is the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors and how his brothers threatened to slay him. And Reuben, the eldest, remember, said, no, we can't kill him. So they found a pit and they threw him down into this pit with no water. And they took his coat and they slashed it and they put blood on it. And remember, they went home to tell Joseph or to tell his father that he was slain by a wild animal. And then the Mennonite caravan came. Remember that? And they sold him into slavery. And it's funny how you fast forward. Because they sold him into slavery, and what happened? Joseph fell in the eye of Pharaoh. Right? Remember? And he described the dreams, the 7 years of feast, the 7 years of famine. And what happened in the 7 years of famine? Joseph's brothers came to get food because they were starving. What a wonderful story. They threw Joseph in the pit, yet Joseph is the one who saves them. God has a plan. When I think of another pit, those of you that have been to Israel, or Israel, I know everybody laughs because I say it two different ways all the time. My wife reminds me how many times I say it every Sunday morning. But if you've been to Israel, and if you've been to Caiaphas' house, anybody been to Caiaphas' house? Alice has, Lois, Jim? On one of our trips, so the high priest's house, you have the temple, and the temple wall, the west wall is left, right? And there was a walkway from there over to the high priest's house so that the high priest, once he's been cleansed, can get to the temple without passing anything that was unclean. Remember, because he's the only one that could do what? Remember, go into the Holy of Holies. Right? So he had a tooth. Well, when Jesus was captured in the garden, remember he was taken before the high priest. We don't have a lot of the details in the scriptures, but in Caiaphas' house, in the basement, is a pit. And it's believed that they took Christ into the pit and there they whipped him till he bled. Away from everybody else to see. Because the last thing the high priest wanted was what? A martyr. And so they put him, maybe David was preemptively talking about that pit, or maybe they had pits like that in David's time. Or perhaps the reference has more to do with being spiritually lost and stuck in the pit of the evil one, as is mentioned in Revelations. Revelations 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more. I believe that the pit that David is talking about is this pit, and that he rejoices over the fact that God saved him from the pit. He goes on with praises in Psalm 30. Sing praises to the Lord, you His faithful people. Praise His holy name. For His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. God's anger only lasts a short time, but His favor lasts a lifetime, and rejoicing comes in the morning. You see, God does not wish us to live our lives without Him, ignoring Him. Just as our parents wanted to instill in us right from wrong, so that we grew older, so that as we grew older, we would better understand, have a clearer perspective. Many times, it is too difficult for us to see the entire picture. We can't see the forest for the trees. It takes far more faith to live in this world and ignore God or proclaim that God does not exist. There are 100 trillion cells in the human body. The DNA that makes up each of our cells has an infinite number of combinations. It is so complex that we have yet to completely comprehend it and the combinations that come from it. Roughly 7 billion people in the world, and nobody has exactly the same combination in those 100 trillion cells. It has been said that to believe this world just happened would be like a tornado going through a junkyard and leaving behind a fully functional Boeing 747 jumbo jetliner. That's a lot of faith. It takes far more faith to believe God doesn't exist than to take what we have learned about this world and believe that God does exist. God has a plan for each of us, and He continually provides course corrections if we are willing to accept them. Why would God have created us only to plan for us to fail? The next time your world is crashing down around you and you think to yourself, to what end? Remember, God is there if you will but take the time to listen. The only time He is not there is when you refuse to believe that He exists. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own. Yet in my weakness, He is there to let me know His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. There couldn't have been a better special music this morning for this message. Let's pray. Our Father, so often we strive out in this world and we think we know everything. And we refuse to listen to those that You've placed along our path to help instruct and to correct. It is in our weakest that You are strong. Father, there's so many pressures in this world, so many desires of the heart, so many desires to just go along, to just be counted as one of the sheep led to the shears. Father, this morning, may we take these words to our heart. May we look for You each and every day. And when our strength gives out, and when our weakness overcomes, may we remember that Your strength is perfect. May we seek Your guidance, Father. And Father, may we be thankful for those that You have placed along our path to help us. For we ask these things in Your name, and through Your Son, our precious Savior, we pray this morning. Amen.